Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport, and me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. tonight for our Sunday night fan show special. Football may have stopped, but the show here continues to roll on. Of course, no football to talk about. April the 30th is when we are due to have football return in the UK. That looks highly unlikely, doesn't it? UEFA came out last week and said they want the season's over, done, dusted by June the 30th. Pretty sure the next season is supposed to commence on August the 8th. So that doesn't look likely to happen either, especially if the figures that we are seeing on this coronavirus outbreak continue to rise in the way that they are rising. We've got to be realistic, people. Social distancing, of course, is key. Boris Johnson was out today, wasn't he, addressing the nation yet again. And what I find quite unfathomable is the fact that he keeps having to answer the questions. Listen, can you clarify it? I don't really think it needs clarifying, in my humble opinion. We know what to do. Just do it. And he has said, listen, provisions, punishments will be put in place if you stop adhering to what he and the government are asking you to do. If you need any information, just go to gov.uk/coronavirus. That tells you everything you need to know. Stay off social media. Don't read all that stuff unless you want to read about football, unless you want to read about nostalgia, because that, in fact, is what we're going to talk about right now. And I've got to say, from the get-go, happy birthday, Tosh. Yes, John Toshack turned 71 years old today. That is certainly something to celebrate. He also, by the way, slightly outshines Jordi Amat. It's his birthday as well today. He's 28, former defender, not as emphatic as John Toshack. So Tosh gets priority there. Delighted to say on the Swansea City fan show, as ever, we have Stephen Carroll of Jackcast. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's a funny old time. That's what we've been saying with every guest throughout our fan shows this evening. It is a funny old time. We don't quite know what to make of what's going on. We don't quite know when football is going to be back, but it doesn't stop us talking about it. There's always talking points, even if that means delving into the history bank.
But yeah, as you say, it's a very uncertain time. No one really knows what to say, I suppose, in some ways, do they? Because you know, it's so unprecedented what's going on at the moment, and football doesn't seem very important, but it is a good distraction to talk about football, so it's always most welcome.
How are you, mate? How is it over in there in Swansea, to be fair? Because often we're based here in London. It's slightly different. London is a bit of a crazy time in the UK. Of course, that is where everything seems to be concentrating in terms of coronavirus at the moment. Not everything, but a large chunk of it. What's it like over there?
Well, I think Swansea does actually have the most cases in Wales at the moment. So that's obviously not very encouraging, but it's still relatively low. I think it's about 34 cases or something like that yesterday. I don't know what it is today. But, you know, I think things are, you know, probably not too different from normal. I mean, I had to go and get my mother and Mother's Day card yesterday, and the city centre was very quiet. So yeah, I think it is quieter than normal, but you're not seeing the, you know, as It's not quite like a lot of the other places at the moment, should we say.
Yeah, absolutely. Swansea City, for one. I mean, listen, it is hard, but we're looking online, of course, and seeing various creative ventures made by clubs, of course. I think there was a game they played today, didn't they? They're sort of reenacting a game between yourselves and Cardiff and sort of giving it a blow-by-blow account, of course, because that's what kind of keeps fans alive. And the interaction is still there, isn't it? People are still interacting with the tweets. They're still watching all the action as well. It's hard for these guys in these social media teams because they're having to keep creating content to keep fans interested.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard for everybody, really, isn't it, at the moment? No one really knows what to do or how to approach things, but or obviously how long things are going to last. And maybe they don't want to bombard the fans with stuff because they've got to try and drag it out as well. But yeah, I mean, I think the obvious time when it gets to a Saturday afternoon, there is like a void for everybody at the moment, isn't there? So if they are going to do reruns of games, then that does sort of make sense. You probably will get a few people watching at least.
I've got to say, what I enjoy is this toilet roll challenge. I'm not much of a social media person, but I've been slightly gripped by this one because everybody's in the same boat. And every footballer from each club seems to try and find a slightly different angle. Matt Grimes, of course, Swansea City captain, has done quite a good one. All left foot, by the way. All left foot. But he's teed it up for his dog to catch. So, you know, something different.
Yeah, like I said, it is something that is sort of getting people talking. And, you know, obviously it's something the players can do because obviously, you know, they probably bored themselves. And obviously the toilet roll is quite a big talking point in the country, isn't it? So, it's interesting to see us. Shame we haven't had one from the likes of Ronaldinho yet, because I'd love to see what someone like he could do.
Yeah, he might struggle, mate, in prison at the moment. He'd probably have a bit of difficulty. He might still be able to do it. Who knows? I'm sure maybe they might take a bit of pity on him. It's been a bit of a funny old story, that one, hasn't it? Certainly, kind of, we saw the images of him still sort of... Well, it kind of was a bit of a laugh and a giggle at first. And it was all a bit, you know, and this is quite funny. And actually now it's obviously... quite serious. So we'll move slightly on from that one. And I tell you what we'll do, Stephen. We're going to jump into our Love Sport time machine, because that's what we're doing with all our fans this weekend. We're speaking to fans and just trying to get their memories, their moments of being a fan at their club, the club that means so much for them. And we're in it now. We're in the time machine. Where are we going to end up? Stephen, where are we?
We're probably going to be in the early Premier League era resort, so around 2011 to 2013, around that time.
And any particular moments from that time, any particular games, any particular players that grabbed your attention then?
The standout, I think, for Swansea is going to have to be winning 3-0 in Valencia. It's never going to get better than that. It's as simple as that, really, to go to, you know, maybe not one of the real giants of European football, but probably one of the second-tier like clubs. You'd probably say after Barcelona, Real Madrid, Valencia are probably like the next team, if not Atletico Madrid. And, you know, Swansea went there and won very convincingly, really. But to see your team in Europe is a mad thing. But to get a result like that is, like I said, it'll never happen again. I think if any team went there and won 3-0 from the Premier League, I think they'd all be pretty pleased with themselves. But for a club like us to do it is incredible, really. So that's definitely the standout one, but there are a few others as well.
Absolutely. Let's bring it back to the present day, Stephen. We mentioned Matt Grimes just there. He's one of many players who are speaking out at the moment. And like we say, it's quite difficult, isn't it, for them to speak to reporters to kind of give them any more particular information. He's just said, listen, it's a massive challenge. I think that whichever team handles this spell the best is the one that's actually going to have the best opportunity. So while we're in this unknown phase, this hiatus from football that we've never experienced before, he's saying, listen, it's so important, and clubs are going to be thinking about it now, that whoever handles this the right way is going to be the one in pole position as and when, if we ever return to this season again.
Yeah, I mean, it'd certainly be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd be looking at clubs now, maybe we've got a few injuries. Obviously, football doesn't look like it's going to return, you know, in the next few weeks, certainly. So you could have a case where if the season is concluded, pretty much most of the players at most clubs will be fit. So that will obviously give others probably an opportunity over Swansea, because I think we don't really seem to have many injury problems at the moment, other than possibly Mike van der Hoorn. So obviously he could come back, but at the same time then, you've also got the interesting thing of players' contracts obviously will be expiring. So if the season isn't concluded by the end of June, what's going to happen there? So, I mean, it's very, like, interesting, isn't it? Like, in terms of what could happen, because we really just don't know, do we, at this stage? You know, it's all up in the air. But, it'll be interesting. I think if we do restart, then obviously there could be some players still in self-isolation, I suppose, and stuff like that, couldn't there? So it is so up in the air. And it would be interesting to see how every team reacted, and it could certainly be one or two that benefit and one or two that suffer.
Okay, Stephen, it's been great having you on as ever here on the Swansea City Fan Show. I know it's difficult in these times to talk about football, to talk about Swansea, to talk about specifics, but great to have you on as always. Stephen Carroll there of Jackcast. Just, you know, looking at the situation for Swansea City, for football fans at the moment. I'm just going to quickly read out some of those quotes from Matt Grimes, because quite poignant, really, what he's saying, in the sense that it is a big challenge for all the teams. He does think that whichever team handles this spell the best, a unique situation, of course, there are no guidelines as well. And that's quite key in this. There are no guidelines. This is unprecedented, which is the word that we continue to hear. We'll give those teams the best opportunity when the season gets started again. He's also saying, listen, it's about keeping the motivation. It's about keeping the mind right. It's about going over old games and realising that while we have this time off to recharge a bit, it's not a holiday. We are still in season. So that's the key thing here, is to remember that we are still in season. And I think for a lot of people, it's a case of, oh, you know, I might just sit on my sofa for a bit. Yeah, that's fine. But sooner or later, we're going to have to get back into business and find ways to motivate ourselves, to inspire ourselves and to just keep on going. Delighted to say that we have Aaron O'Shea, big Swansea fan, with us now. Hello, Aaron.
Evening.
How are you, Aaron? Tough times, weird times, bizarre times, but you sound, just from that one word alone, that you're in relatively good spirits.
Yeah, keeping well, just keeping busy. Well, as busy as can be, anyway. Mm. Plodding along and just remaining optimistic about everything, really.
Yeah, you have to remain optimistic in these times, don't you, mate? It's what we have to do right now. And I mentioned John Toshack there, his birthday today, something of a Swansea legend. That's certainly something to celebrate on Mother's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a couple of, well, we had another legend's birthday yesterday as well, Michu, and another lesser known Swansea player as well in Jordi Amat. It's all happening. But it's, I don't know, birthdays, I've seen stories on the news as well about weddings and things like that. And the current situation puts a bit of a dampener on it all, which is a shame, really, because I think, you know, things like that should be celebrated.
They certainly should be, mate. I had a wedding, actually, I'm supposed to be at right now, but cancelled, yes, because it couldn't go ahead. So all of these situations certainly causing a bit of distress to people, a bit of anxiety, but we are here to try and lift those spirits. You mentioned Michu. Then, Aaron, let's talk about Michu, because he would have turned 34 this week, as you said. You know, customary celebration, very familiar celebration that we saw that emphatic first season at the club. I saw him play a couple of times and thought, yes, very decent. I actually went over to the Liberty. I was working for a publication at the time and we handed him a signing of the season award. I've got to tell you, he was a lovely fella. We sat in the dugout at the Liberty and just talked about life. We talked about his season. He had a very warm aura about him, just happy to be in Wales, happy to be playing for Swansea, and a great season that he had. It's just a shame that we didn't really get to see more of him.
It is, yeah. The ankle injury is it ended his career prematurely, really. I think there was a lot more in the bag. It didn't quite work out at Napoli. I think he was maybe hoping to propel himself onto bigger things with that move, but unfortunately never recovered. I think we were lucky to really sort of see the best of him, like that breakthrough Premier League season anyway. It was just mind-blowing. I'm not afraid to admit that before he signed for us, I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anything about him. And, you know, you start Googling and you think, right, okay, right. Oh, he was an attacking midfielder. Oh, he's got a good goal record. And then all of a sudden, then he just starts banging them in for fun all over the place. And you're thinking, wow. Who is this guy? And you know, how on earth have we got him for the price that we got him for? And you know, he turned a lot of heads worldwide. Instantly became a bit of a cult hero.
Oh, he did. 18 goals in that first season. And you're bang on. I think it was Sir Alex Ferguson who
That's
said,
right.
Because you got him from Rayo Vallecano, didn't you? And he said, listen, this guy was on no one's radar. Absolutely no one. He said, listen, I know a lot about football. I know a lot about, you know, footballers who are available. I know a lot about other leagues, but no one had any idea about Michu. And Swansea have come in and plucked him, and he's been absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. Historically, we always had a really, really good scouting network, and we found these diamonds from nowhere. But out of them all, he was the most notable by a long way.
Okay, Aaron, we are going to delve back in to our Love Sport time machine. We've been asking all our fans this weekend if they could go back to any moment, which one would it be? We're stepping into the time machine now. Yes, where are we going to end up? Aaron, where are we?
Oh, I'm a bit torn, to be honest, between two. And the first one, I've got very mixed emotions about. I would love to go back there for the sheer euphoria, and that would be James Thomas's hat trick, 4-2 against Hull, kept us in the Football League, and that was the start of our rise up the leagues at that point. I wouldn't want to go back there because then we'd be back in League Two, but I would want to go back to just experience that euphoria once again. And to know that, you know, we maintained our professional status as a club. But then the other one, at the sort of the extreme other end of the spectrum, would have been back in the Europa League again and beating Valencia away. You know, that was special, really, really special.
That was certainly a good memory, wasn't it? I think that alone, that's kind of what Stephen Carroll was alluding to as well. Just seeing Swansea on that stage at that time was just, yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? When you look at those seasons, you look at that Europa, well, not the Europa, the Carabao Cup campaign as well, not the Carabao Cup at the time, and Nathan Dyer desperately wanting his League Cup hat trick as well. That always gets me, the fact that he was desperate for that hat trick and it was cruelly taken away from him.
I was raging. I still talk about that now, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm still sort of a bit raging inside even now. He would have been the first player to score a hat-trick in a League Cup final. And the fact that Jonathan de Guzman sort of ripped that penalty away from him. As much as, you know, Jonathan de Guzman was fantastic for us, but I've always got that little bit inside me that's like, I can't believe you did that. I'll never forgive you for that.
No. I think it was the trophy parade, the open-top bus parade, actually, the next day, and Nathan Dyer was still talking about it. So you sensed that he was actually fuming about it. And that's fair, isn't it? Because ultimately, that's history. That's history being created right there. And say what you like about footballers, they care about that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they all say, "Oh, yeah, I don't really look at the stats. I'm not interested in records." But of course they are. You know, they're competitive lads. They're trying to be the best. You know, at what they're doing. And ultimately, it's those things where you sort of cement a legacy. And yeah, I'm sure, even to this day, Nathan Dyer is probably still a little bit tender about it, shall we say. And again, and rightly so. Absolutely rightly so.
And rightly so, absolutely. We've also been talking, Aaron, about the toilet roll challenge. Of course, don't normally get involved with all this social media stuff, but I saw one from Lee Trundle earlier on this week, and I thought that was particularly good. 12 he got. I mean, that's quite impressive. A couple off his ever so slightly more portly belly than it was during his playing days. But 12, not a bad total for the big man.
Lee's actually, I think he's in better shape now than when he was playing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I thought you might come back with that.
I think he'd probably admit it himself. But he claimed as well he had no dress rehearsals. He just went straight into it. If it was anybody else, I wouldn't believe them. But because it's him, yeah, I'll take that. I've been nominated to do it. I haven't done it yet. And I can tell, well, I can say now with absolute confidence that I will not be getting 12. I'll be lucky to get 2.
Yeah, I tell you what, I struggled a bit earlier. I think I managed to get 5. It was with half a toilet roll, to be fair, not a full toilet roll. So, you know, I was there or thereabouts. I saw Wayne Routledge's one as well, and he's kind of doing it on his big furry rug that he's got in his living room. You can't even see his feet, for crying out loud. He's doing it in the lap of luxury there. But let's just quickly talk about the current campaign, Aaron, just because, you know, we are at a crossroads now. We don't quite know what's going to happen. I know that, you know, Ben Cabango's come out and spoken recently. I saw actually an interview with Steve Cooper, who said, you know, he's got a lot of improving to do. We really want to maximise his potential and talent. I suppose now is a time better than any that, even though the manager can't get the players on the training ground just yet, we don't know how long it's going to be, I suppose it is an opportunity for Steve Cooper in his first ever season in professional football to kind of step back and take stock in a way that he wouldn't have been able to do ordinarily.
Yeah, he. You know, the other positive as well that's come out whilst we're having this sort of hiatus is that he's signed a new contract, and I think it was important. You know, we're a club now that relies on our youth and the excellent academy that we've got, and Ben has been one of the success stories. And hopefully there'll be more to come from that as well. He probably, I think at the start of the season, he probably wasn't expecting to be a regular feature in the first. And then to go from, you know, a prominent player in the under-23s to a regular starter, it's probably taken him a bit by surprise. So I think that period of reflection, it'll probably do him a little bit of good. Hopefully it doesn't make him a little bit overwhelmed by it all. He comes across as a fairly confident lad, so I don't think it will, to be honest. And hopefully now Steve Cooper and the team at the club can sort of get him to maximise that potential that we can all see. You know, he's done incredibly well for us this season. You know, he's very, very strong, very solid defensively. Now I'd like to sort of personally see the club working on his passing a little bit.
And in terms of confident lads, you mentioned there that he is a strong, confident lad. Rhian Brewster as well has been the subject of a potential move to Leeds. We don't know what's going to happen with contracts and with loan deals. It's all a very murky, grey, horrible area at the moment. But Leeds apparently are after Rhian Brewster, potentially on another loan deal. You'd imagine that Jurgen Klopp won't be letting him go anywhere. He's looked very good since he joined you guys on loan. Do you think if Leeds were to go up, if Swansea were to go up, do you think he's a Premier League player yet?
Oh, it's a difficult one. You can see, we watch him play sort of week in, week out, and you can see that there's quality there. There really is. He's still a little bit raw in some areas, but you can really see the pedigree that he's got. He would probably slot in well at this stage in his development at a lower end Premier League club, but I don't know whether that would do him sort of good in the longer term. I'd be fuming if he went to Leeds, mind.
I was going to say, I thought you might be, mate. I thought you might be.
Yeah. If somehow we did go up, I would like to think that he would be sort of wanting to come back to us, even if it is just a loan. Just to, he's done incredibly well for us. He's slotted in really nicely for us. The fans had an instant affinity, and he got that link with the fans straight away from the word go. And yeah, he's got that sort of cheeky side. He's a bit, you know, he's a very likeable sort of guy. Even obviously, I don't know him personally, but that's the impression that you get, is that he is a very sort of likeable character. Yellow card in the referee, he's a bit of, you know, bit of an entertainer.
Yeah,
I would like to hope that when his time at the Liberty sort of comes to an end, that he has some sort of fond memories, and again, if the opportunity arises, that he would consider coming back.
Absolutely, Aaron, mate, it's been great having you on the line. We will be back next week.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.